You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
Ooh, I haven't recorded a podcast like this in years. My voice is going to sound maybe a little froggy, groggy, because guys, I just woke up. It's a beautiful Friday, February 24th morning here in Denver, feeling so blessed, abundant, lucky to have the view from our apartment that we do. My human design is Shores Environment, so this is just magnificent to me. It really kicks off all the creative energy, but I wanted to hop on here because inspiration strikes in the most random times, doesn't it? I was sweeping the floors in the kitchen and I just thought, I want to go talk to him. I want to go talk to him. I don't even need coffee, tea. I just want to go talk to him. So Pisces season came in hot, huh? Just so many realizations in my own life, but also my loved ones around me. Big changes, big movements. It's so interesting how when we can pull ourselves out of our fishbowl, metaphorical fishbowl of just ourself, and look at the collective, we're all kind of experiencing the same things at once. Like, don't tell me there's not another frequency that humans are all on and nobody, like, if we can only agree to see that we're all on frequency 3. So we're all going through the same things, just with different faces and different homes, you know? But yesterday, I went to acupuncture, and I love the art. I think it's so healing. I resonate with it, but it doesn't resonate with me. This is my third or fourth time ever trying acupuncture, and every single time, I go into full-blown adrenal panic attacks when I get it done. And I got to figure it out, because I like the art. I would love to keep doing it, but I don't know. I don't know. But I went to a session and I vocalized, like, hey, I am here mostly for some nerve issues that I've been having that have been causing some numbness and tingling when I'm sleeping at night. And stress, anxiety, you know, those are just things I think everyone deals with every day, but I like to be proactive about them. And so I asked specifically, can we do my back? Because I've never had needles on my back. I always get the front side done because the practitioners are so awesome in their approach to holistic health. They look at your tongue to get an idea of where your energy's at. They'll check your pulse on both of your wrists to get an idea of where your energy's at. And when she took, she was a lovely Libra, by the way. When she took my pulse, she kept looking down at my wrist and then up at me and then down at my wrist and then up at me as if she was questioning, really trying to figure out a hard puzzle. And I was like, oh boy, I do have a weird pulse. I was born with a heart murmur. So every time a physician checks my heart rate, they're like, do you know? Like, you have a little wishy-washy sound in your heart. I'm like, yes, I do. Part of my blueprint. But she looked at me and she said, this is so bizarre. I said, what? She said, your pulse is kind of like disconnected yet erratic, which is weird in its own. But she's like, normally a pulse matches someone's energy, someone's stature, someone's aura. And she's like, your pulse does not match your demeanor at all. And I was like, what exactly does that mean? And she used a lot of Eastern medicine lingo, but I think what she was getting at is, my pulse was someone who might have severe anxiety, yet my demeanor was so Taurus calm. And I just sat with that and I thought, wow, maybe. I wrote about this in the Monday What's New and Good email. If you guys subscribe to that, it's for free. It's awesome. I write it every Sunday night and I send it out first thing Monday at midnight, and it's really cool. I go deep on those things. But I sat and I thought about it and I thought, whoa, I already had an experience a couple of weekends ago where I didn't listen to my heart and my gut. I listened to just my head and it got me in a traumatic situation. I'm fine. Not that big of a deal, so I'm making the words sound. But where I had to just sit and think with it all weekend, like, man, how can I prevent these things from happening? And then I think of acupuncture and my head and my gut tells me yes, but my heart tells me no, perhaps. But it's cognitive dissonance, right? Cognitive dissonance is when you're disconnected from one of the three brains, your head, your heart, and your gut, your intuition. I think I run a constant streamline of being disconnected from at least two at a time. I'm very cerebral, hence what I do for a living. So I very much like to think with my head. But an interesting thing about the acupuncture before we move on is I thought that doing the needles on my back, which is more of a physical rather than an emotional release, I do hold a lot of tension in my neck and shoulders from when I sit at a computer all day. I thought it would help, but it didn't. It still gave me just the nightmare of panic that as soon as they put the needles in, and it's not needles, you know, everyone always thinks like, well, you maybe have a fear of needles. I don't. I mean, I don't like them. I don't seek them out, but I don't faint. I've never fainted. They've never caused me that much. I'm kind of like, bring on the pain. But I still had it. And I'm like, what is this? And it feels like, good morning, Jeffrey. It feels like this cool energy that starts where the needle site is and just moves itself down to my butt cheeks, down to my pelvic area, down to my thighs, my calves, and then out, which is what you're supposed to be experiencing to an extent. But mine just gets a little too overwhelming and my armpits start dripping sweat. I start to just, oh, yesterday I wanted to just rip the needles out and tell her, no, like never again. I'm not doing this. And when I tapped into it, I've just come to understand that acupuncture is not for my body. It's just not. And all the practitioners I've worked with are so cool, so knowledgeable. And my very first time, I was covered in bruises as if I went and stood in front of a paintball machine. My second time, the practitioner told me, like, my energy was pretty balanced. This isn't really something I need. And then this time she noticed, yeah, I do need it. But I asked her, why does my body react like this? And she was just like, I don't know. Everybody's so unique, so individual. So I'm not going to try acupuncture again. That was my third and last time. I'll never say never completely, but it's just not something I'm going to invest my time and money into anymore because my body, I feel like I'm betraying my physical body when I'm listening to mostly my head, if that makes sense. I put myself in situations around people that I don't really resonate with, but I'm such a people pleaser that I'll force myself to go anyway out of being what my mind tells me is respectful, out of being kind. But who's that way for me? You know, who will do that for me? And so the more I sat with what she said, I'm like, hey, honey, your pulse is really not matching your demeanor. The pulse is the body's physical. That doesn't lie. What's going on with this demeanor? And I thought, I mean, this is who I am. I'm a Taurus rising. Do you know astrology? I don't know. But then I sat with it and I sat with it. And I've been in my life, my childhood, my adolescence, I've lived under such high stress, when's the shoe gonna drop situations that I have to keep my composure because normally I'm the rock for people, for situations, for groups. I'm the one that's like, I can somehow just see and sense how this isn't as big of a deal as the people are making it out to be, and I can ground myself. I can stay the rooted one. I have this weird sense, call it clairvoyance, I don't know, where when people are being mean to me, cussing me out, being rude, I can just see their pain causing them to do that. Nobody wants to do that. And so I don't lash out. I don't get bad back. Mars in the 12th house, maybe? I don't know. But perhaps I store all of that energy in my body and take it and take it and take it. But maybe sometimes I do need to lash out. Maybe sometimes I do need to just let it all out and not let people fuck with me, so to speak. I don't know. But aside from just like drama and negativity like that, I've also, with my brother's epilepsy, you know, when he's having a seizure, and grandma's seizures are something I wish nobody would have to see, especially to someone very close in your loved one's circle. But it's painful. It's scary. It's trauma. But you can, in situations like that, you can't just cave. You can't have a panic attack and say, well, I need help, because this person is physically dying in front of you and you've got to remain cool, calm, composed. And so the more I say that out loud to you guys, the more I'm like, oh man, yeah. Thinking of all the situations in my life where it's been very high intensity fear emotions, but I've remained the rooted one. And so it's, yeah, it is this demeanor that I give off, because it's like, what other demeanor am I supposed to show? I mean, don't get me wrong. I do have minty bees. I saw this on Instagram and it made me crack up. Minty bees, mental breakdowns. I do have minty bees where it's like I get to just release and wail and cry. But I can just see that. So during the acupuncture session, she asked me, she's very sweet. She's a Libra, super sweet. She said, I'll put them in, but if you want to take them out in like 10 minutes, normally we do 30, you just let me know. So I was like, okay. First 10 minutes were absolute hell. I mean, sweaty palms, sweaty armpits, probably a sweaty ass. Like, it was bad. You guys, my body convulses on the table. It's scary. And so I sat with it and I was just like, mind over matter. Let me use this, such a hard ass. Let me use this as an experience to show me that I am strong and my mind rules the roost. Oh God, that sounds bad already. My mind, my gut, my heart are like, no. But I just kept saying things like, I am not fearful of Jeffrey dying, my pug. That's one of my biggest fears. I am not fearful of never finding my community or tribe. I am not fearful of money. So I would just say these things out loud. I wonder if Karen heard me. She was probably like, okay, this poor girl, but good. Let it out. Yes. I just kept saying things like that. And as I stepped into it, I started to relax. I started to just melt into the table. And by the end of it, I was drooling. And she walked in. I was like, do you think you can do 10 more minutes? And I said, yes, I do. So I controlled it. And that was a fun experiment on how strong I am. But no, I will say my back does feel better. I'll hand that to acupuncture. But it's not for me. And it's kind of similar to how easily persuade and how easy it was to imprint on me, because when you don't know who you are, you can fall for anything type of deal. I had the vegan diet for very strictly for 2 or 3 years. I loved it. I thought I was doing the animals a favor, the environment a favor, most of all my body, because who you look at beautiful colored fruits and vegetables and you're like, yes, that's what I want to eat, the rainbow. But it's what caused me to really crash with adrenal fatigue. It's what caused me to grow polyps in my uterus, because I wasn't balanced in my vitamins and minerals. And, you know, I just thought it was the thing to do. It's the hot thing to do. All the people that shared their before and afters on Instagram, all the documentaries that I watched, it was the most convincing thing ever. A lot of the vegans I follow were these beautiful, thin, bright-skinned women and men. And I thought, I want a sip of that Kool-Aid. And I did. I will say my body did feel very thin, but you know what else was thin? My hair, my eyelashes, my eyebrows. And it just turned out to not be for me. Now I incorporate it in the first half of my cycle. I crave more vegan diet. And then the second half is more paleo carnivore based. So there's a nice balance and that works for me. I'm getting to know myself and who I am, what feels good, what doesn't. And my body, I've got that on lock, and now it's the cognitive dissonance, the head, the heart, the gut. I got to work on getting all of those three aligned. And I feel like wildly successful people like Oprah, or gosh, I love Taylor Swift. She is just that's my soul girl right there. But people like them who are wildly successful and don't care what people say about them, they just keep doing them and showing up. I feel like they have cognitive dissonance. Or they don't have it, sorry. Where their head, their heart, and their gut are all aligned. When they make choices, all three of those brains are lit up saying, yes, that's right. Whereas I find myself, when I make choices, my head says yes, my heart says, fuck no, what are you doing? And my gut says, okay, now I'm lost. And everything is just shaky. And so when you make shaky decisions, you get shaky results, right? If it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. When you do something that's a, well, maybe, you get, well, maybe I can be with them. Maybe we can make it work. I mean, they're fun to hang out with as a friend, right? That's something I'm working on. Tale as old as time. You know how many times I've asked people on interviews on this podcast, how do you tell the difference between anxiety and intuition? And I've received some beautiful answers, but I forgot about them already. So clearly something isn't hitting, isn't making sense to me. But I just wonder what it feels like to have all three of those centers lined up. Or is it even humanly natural in the society we live in? My gosh, the influence of social media and stimuli at our fingertips. We really think we're going to have our head, heart, and gut aligned when we've got the first video I open my page is vegan is the best diet. I scroll down. The next one is vegans are killing you. Eat meat and organs. I scroll down. The next one says, whoa. I think breaks from social media, be they one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, forever, are an absolute necessity to get the three back together. And you remove social media, your family, your friends. They all mean well, they all love you, but they're all projecting advice to you from a place that they are at. Do you guys remember the story a few episodes back where I said, I have this mentor in my life, it's an older woman, and she always would tell me over the last 2 years as I went through adrenal fatigue and other things, she would say, you just need to settle down. You just need to plant roots. You need to have a home or at least an apartment, and you got to settle down, and then your soul will settle down. And so being older, I thought, well, they know their stuff. Respect the wise elders, right? And so I did. I settled down, and it did help a little bit, but tell me why every evening when I take a bath, I'm looking at motorhomes. I'm looking at Zillow in Florida. It's just this gravitational pull towards those things. And when I lived in the Florida Keys, in that little treehouse, if you're OGs here, you remember, didn't touch Zillow, didn't think of planning a trip anywhere. I was so content. It never crossed my mind. But the other month, I asked this woman as I was preparing to move to Denver. I was like, hey, just want to have fun here and get creative. If you never had children, if you were never married and divorced multiple times, what would you be doing? If you never had your children, what do you think you would be doing? And her children are old and grown now. And she said, oh, I would have traveled the world with a sweetheart, and I probably would have run my own business, hopefully from, you know, my phone or somewhere remote so I could move around, but I would definitely travel. I'd want to live in different cities and experience that. And I just thought, whoa, there is your perfect example of someone who loves you, because this woman loves me more than like anybody. But they project from where they're at. And this is what our family does. This is what our friends do. And it's hard, especially when you're a recovering people pleaser like me, to tell them, thank you, that was beautiful advice, but it doesn't resonate. It doesn't hit. I don't feel it lighting up my three brains. Right? And so that story, I'm going to share it a lot because it's so impactful, I feel. Only you know what's best for yourself. Only you. And don't betray yourself in the name of people pleasing. Don't forget that you know what's best for you in the name of what your head might tell you. What does your heart and your gut say? What person makes your gut feel gentle? No pains, no aches. What person makes your heart feel calm? Not butterflies, not fireworks, calm to where you can just relax and be ugly in peace. I saw somebody say that on Instagram. It cracked me up around them. And your head may always try and talk you out of things like mine in an effort to stay in control or predict the outcome of a situation. But it's very easy to say, hey, head, I see you. Thank you for trying to talk me out of this. I'm okay. I know you love me, want me to be safe, but this is okay, right? When the heart and the gut win and it can tell the brain, hey, take some PTO. You're fine. We're good here. What places are that? I can go on and on about examples I've had about not listening to my heart or my gut. And it's no wonder autoimmunity is written in my book of life, because autoimmunity is the body attacking itself. It's antibodies in the blood attacking the body. And I believe when you betray yourself, when you are betraying your heart and your gut, those two brains out of the three, you're energetically attacking yourself. You're betraying yourself, right? We're all on this journey, no matter what situation we came from, of reparenting ourselves. Well, if your parents betrayed you or emotionally neglected or abandoned you, God forbid physically harmed you, if you keep betraying yourself in this light way of not listening to your heart and your gut, what is that going to do to your health, to your psyche, right? So let's all practice listening to our head, our hearts, and our gut over the next year, the rest of this year. Especially as, you know, I got to throw some astrology in it. As Saturn moves into Pisces, we will be given lessons as a collective and as individuals who have this placement or other Pisces placements. Are your head, your heart, and your gut aligned? I remember when I got married, when I was such a young girl, 24. Oh my gosh. I got married because guess what? My heart and my gut screamed like I had physical reactions to the whole wedding planning process, like nausea, throwing up, all of it, you name it, I had it. But my head said, what is y'all's problem? Like, this person's great and you're 22. This is what you do after college. Like, come on, get with it, heart and gut. Oof. But I went through with it, as y'all know. The honeymoon was a nightmare in of itself. This is a whole other story, which I'm sure you can find in the archives of this podcast. But on the last day, it was a week-long honeymoon in Key West. Where else would your girl go? But it rained and poured every single day, all day. So every event and activity we had planned got canceled, and we were chained to our hotel room. Well, the very last day, the day we were leaving that early afternoon, the sun came out. I thought, this is symbolic. I just want to get off of this island because I'm done with the rain. But we left our hotel and they had a shuttle, just, you know, a big white van that shuttles you to the airport from the hotel. And we got in and it was a young kid driving us. He was probably 19, 20, not too much younger than us at the time. And I love to talk to strangers. Oh, I know no strangers. I just love their stories. I think everybody is a public speaker if you just talk to them. But I said, like, hey, what do you work at this hotel? How did you get to Key West? You don't look like an island boy. And he's like, no, I'm from Minnesota. I just came down here and I just wanted an adventure in life. And when he said, I just wanted to adventure in life, I felt like someone just socked me in the gut, right in the belly button. And I was like, cool. I mean, what are you doing down here? Like, how'd you get down here? It's pretty expensive to live down here. That's always been my thing, is want to live there, but money, you know? And he was like, oh, I actually live at the hotel. You didn't know that right out of high school or college, you can get this like work living situation where you can live in a hotel room, not the most glamorous thing, but hey, and you work full time at the hotel. Punch to the chest. And my heart got heavy. I was like, really? I said, how long have you been down here? He's like, oh, like 6 months, and I can choose to stay another six or go to another hotel. And he's like, it's awesome. You know, I could just ride my bike around the island. I get coconuts all the time. Everyone here is so nice. And as he just started talking about how much he loves it and how cool it is and all the different people from all over the world he's met, it was a punch to my mouth and my head and the tears. I just turned and looked out the window so my husband at the time couldn't see me, and just like, it's like water started to go over all of my senses and it drowned him out, and tears just were falling down my cheeks, And I'll never forget that moment driving in the bright island sun, watching the palm tree fronds sway in the wind on the way to the airport and pulling up and thinking, okay, get it together. Get it together. Don't let anybody know you're crying. This is weird. How would you even explain why you're crying? Just get your bag and let's go home and get right back to it. Back to survival mode. Back to your wife. Got to change your name. Back to moving to the Carolinas from New Hampshire. Ugh. Back to your bleak reality. And this is a full circle of the beginning of this episode, huh? Because I love sharing my life with you guys because I know how much you love spirituality and psychology as much as me. And I'm pretty much putting myself out there as a puzzle for you to solve. Do remember, I don't give you all the pieces, but it's fun. And I hope you learn a thing or two. And maybe you apply what I share with you to your life and your situation. And don't do what I do. Do as I say, not what I do. But I think of that moment often, and I think that was the ultimate betrayal of soul, because everything in me said, don't go to college, pursue music in Florida. Everything in me said, move to Key West, don't get married. But everything in my mind, all of the traumas I endured leading up to that, said, the mind is the master, and my heart and my gut are the servants. And their voice does not get a say. In fact, they don't even have a voice sometimes. They're just these feelings in the background that my mind, who is so strong, says, shut up, ignore. You guys will get us into trouble. I know where you guys will get us into no good. But they're actually the ones who are right. So that's what I'm going to go work on this weekend. I'm going to go journal. I'm going to go make some coffee. I'm going to go listen to music, and I'm going to really set boundaries all day with myself. How often am I going to be on my phone today? How often am I going to scroll? I'm going to set boundaries and not do anything that doesn't feel good to my heart and my gut. You guys felt good in my head, heart, and gut this morning as I was sweeping my kitchen, overlooking these beautiful views of the Rocky Mountains here in Denver, Colorado. I'll see you guys soon. I'll see you next episode. Go take care of yourself. Bye.